you're not Jesus, so we don't have to worry about that one, okay? He's the most important one in the story. We all know that. We have that figured out. You won't be him. But there are several other characters in the story, and I want you to kind of get a picture of who they are
and if they're right where they need to be. Okay. So Luke chapter 5, verse 17. So one day who's the he? Jesus. One day Jesus was teaching. Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. So we have these gentlemen who have come to see Jesus. They are Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law. They've come from everywhere to see Jesus. Now, these guys are theologians. They know the Bible backwards, forwards, frontwards, sideways, every which way that they possibly can know the Bible. They've got it figured out. They have memorized the book of the law, the first five books. They know it all. And yet, they've walked into this little town in the middle of nowhere and are sitting watching a young man, 30 or so, and they're asking questions in their own minds. They are committed to theology. They are committing to upholding their understanding. They have exhausted Scripture, looked at it, connected it, put it all together, and yet they are here listening to Jesus. They have taken over the room. In that room, they are the guys sitting in the best seats. They're in the best clothes. They are all the people who everybody in town looks up to. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they are the religious leaders of the day, and they are a part of this story. Come into this room, sitting down, listening to Jesus. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. It's the next piece of this. It's always one of those verses that has bothered me. The power of the Lord was there for Jesus to heal the sick. Now, this is not necessarily theological, but it's something that I've put in and take it for what it's worth. It may not be worth much. This may be just a Jeffism, not a Godism, but this says that the power of the Lord was there for Jesus to heal. Now, I've seen Jesus do some interesting things. I watched Jesus take 4,000 people and feed them. I watched Jesus take 5,000 people and feed them. Then he walked up to a fig tree, and what was on the fig tree? Nothing. You think that if he could feed 5,000, he could get a fig out of a fig tree, right? You think that if he could raise the dead, he could come off the cross. But understand, Jesus as fully man, Jesus as fully God, had a full responsibility to do exactly what the Holy Spirit was leading him to do. He had this responsibility to follow God as well. There's a powerful piece in here that we have to understand along the way. Jesus said, I don't want to go to the cross. Let this cup pass from me. Let me not go here. And yet Jesus followed. I think this is the significant difference between who has in the room with Jesus and who Jesus is. I think the Pharisees and Sadducees have come to find everything religious, but they have forgotten to find the Lord. They have found everything to do religious that they could possibly do, make everything great, but they have stopped talking to the Lord. It's a big deal. Let's go a little farther in the story. Some men carrying a paralytic on a mat tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. Some men. Do we know their names? Scripture didn't even put their names in. Don't know who they are. Don't know who these people are. But they found somebody. They found a paralytic. Do we know his name? Don't know his name either. We don't know the Pharisee's name, we don't know the Sadducee's name, we don't know the men's name, and we don't know the paralytic's name. We don't know if the paralytic is male or female, do we? I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, just like the name doesn't matter. Does the paralytic have a problem? I think so. He can't go anywhere. He's got a problem in his life, and he's got something going on in his life, and he can't solve this problem in his life. My daughter, Kendra, went to New York University several years ago. She went on a full scholarship, and we were so excited for our daughter to go to school and really proud of her and really excited about her going to college. Well, the first year she went to school, she called us. And this is one of those calls that a parent gets where your child is in trouble. And you don't know how to fix this trouble. My daughter called me and scared me so bad as a father, I almost put her mother on a plane. Fly to New York. The reason? I was concerned for my daughter from a standpoint of suicide. I don't know why suicide's such a big deal now, but it is. I mean, it's Kate Spade took her life. The chef there just took his life. I don't understand how we've come to this place where suicide is an issue, but it's an issue. Now, we were able to walk with our daughter and talk with our daughter and get our daughter through NYU and get her out, and she's working now, and she seems to be doing well. But I will never forget that call. I'll never forget that place. I'll never forget that position as a parent where I had a child who was going through something that I just couldn't understand fully, and I fully couldn't necessarily fix. It's a really difficult place to be. The paralytic is in this position. Can't walk, can't do anything, can't work, must rely on anybody who is or everybody who is, and must be able to do this. So they come in and they're here. And as they come to the door, they can't get in. Verse 19 says, when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. So I don't know how many there were. They just said friends. It could be two, three, could be. I know it's more than one, okay? But there's more than one. There's one, more than one person who have come, and they've taken this paralytic. They've come to this house. In this house, there are all these really big religious types. The rest of the room is filled with everybody that's their neighbors. They've come. They've brought this guy. They've brought a paralyzed man to the party. Think about that. The Pharisees and Sadducees are there for one reason. They want to know what Jesus is all about. They've heard his name. They've seen him. They've gone, okay, so the people think he's spiritual. We need to go see who he is. We need to see if he is of God. We need to make sure that he is of God. We need to know, because he doesn't go to seminary. Jesus has never been to seminary. Jesus has never served under a synagogue. He's never had a master teacher. He's always been a wanderer throughout his ministry. They've got all this history, and they're here. Now, if you're a regular person in town, do you interrupt all those quote-unquote religious guys? You don't do this. But they did. They couldn't get in the room, so they went to the top of the house. Not their house, mind you, and think about this, okay? Think about somebody trying to go through the roof of this room. Okay? We're all religious types. Somebody starts going through the roof of this room, what are you thinking? 911, please come, take whoever's on the roof, get them off our roof, okay? I don't care what they're trying to do, get them out of here. That's what you're thinking. That's what they're thinking, especially the guy who owns the house going, what are you doing to my roof? But they believed something so strongly that they could not say no. They had something in them that said, we have to do this. We need to seek this thing. We need to get this man in front of Jesus. We need to get him there. So they chose to remove the tiles on the roof. They chose to drop this man into the middle of the room. They chose to do this thing. They were willing to carry the load. These folks were willing to interrupt the party. These folks believed that Jesus could heal. By the way, are you this type of friend? See, because when I look at who are you in the story, this is who you should be. You should be the one that sees a friend in trouble. You should be the one that's not even a friend, sees somebody in trouble. It doesn't much matter who they are. You see them in trouble. You should have a faith in you that says, I know the answer to this. The answer to this is Jesus. You should be leading them to Jesus. You should bring in them strongly to Jesus. You should be going, I need you to see Jesus. You should get them in the front of Jesus no matter what's in the way. No matter what. This is who I want you to be in this story. Now, you might be the person that's struggling, suffering, the paralytic. Well, there are plenty of friends around here who need to bring those folks in. In Romans, that passage I asked you to read, Romans 10, 13 through 15, it said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love how that starts. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then it says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? Last night, 20,000 people went and watched fireworks in Santa Monica. 20,000 people went to watch fireworks in Santa Monica. There's a big party over there, right? My church is on the corner. Okay? 20,000 people. We gave away 2,000 bottles of water. We gave away, well, we couldn't give pens away. I don't know why. Nobody would take a pen. Okay? But we gave away 1,000 glow sticks. We gave away a whole bunch of chips. We gave away, why? Because we want people who live in Santa Monica who don't know Jesus. I'm telling you, they don't know Jesus. We want them to get a picture that Jesus is something worth looking into. We shared our card. We shared our church. We'll see if anybody comes. But we have a responsibility. We need to recognize that people need to call upon the Lord. We need to recognize that we need to be those people. Continuing in Romans chapter 10, 14, it says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Well, somebody needs to preach to them. How can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. These men who carried the paralytic, these men, these women, these friends who carried the paralytic, they brought good news. They said to the man, hey, we're taking you to see Jesus because we think he can change this. We're taking you to Jesus because he is the answer. We're going to take you to this place where Jesus is. They got there. They couldn't get in. They said, we're getting you in. They lowered him through the ceiling. If you go back to what Jesus says here, when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their what? Faith. They believed. They believed enough to interrupt all those important types. They believed enough to get into this room, even though they couldn't get into the room through normal means. They believed enough that they brought a man who was paralyzed, they put some ropes on a blanket, and they dropped him in the room in front of Jesus. That's pretty good. Jesus saw that. And of all the things that was going on in that room, that was the important one. Wasn't the guys that knew the whole book of the law by in their head. It wasn't the guys who could quote Genesis chapters 1 through 50. It wasn't those guys. It wasn't the people in the room. It was the people that came to the room with someone who had a problem, and they felt that Jesus could answer it. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. This was to mess up the Pharisees, by the way. you'll see it messes them up completely. But sometimes what's going on in our life is a cause from sin. Sometimes we do things in our life that sin messes us up with. You ever have a friend that lied to you? Ever have a friend lie to you? Anybody in the room? Friend lie to you? Somewhere along the line? Next time the friend talked to you, what did you think? Yeah, are they lying now, right? Because see, lies lead to distrust. There's a consequence for the lies that we bring to other people. It is the consequence of distrust. Stealing. You steal something from somebody. Okay? You steal something from somebody. Are they going to leave stuff outside again? It's amazing. In my office, I've lost two computers. They happened during church. Two of them walked away. Do you think my office isn't locked anymore? There's a consequence, you know? Something happens, you know? If you steal and you get caught, you might have a consequence of going to jail. Misconduct has its consequences. For this paralytic, apparently, something created this thing in his life, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Well, the religious types come in and say, the Pharisees, teachers of the law, began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? By the way, they got that right. They got that absolutely correct. That's absolutely right. It is a correct interpretation of Scripture. Who can forgive sins? God alone. What did they miss? Missed that Jesus is God. They missed it. As smart as they were, as intelligent as they were, as all of this, and they're looking for a Savior. By the way, that's one of the things that they're looking for. They're looking for this Savior of the world. Now, some of them will find Him. Nicodemus tells us that some of them will find Him. But many do not. They let all of their theology, all of their understanding of religion, all that's going on, get in the way of really looking at who God is, who Jesus is, who this one is that's standing right in front of them. Sin separates us from fellowship with God. We all know that all have sinned. We all know that the penalty for sin is death, physical and spiritual. We all know that. We must find spiritual connectedness. Now, Jesus hears what they say, even though they don't necessarily say it. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, you are forgiven, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and walk. What does he do? Gets his mat, takes up, see you later, I'm out the door, okay? Is he happy about it? Massively happy about it. The Pharisees and Sadducees are going, I don't know what to do with that. I don't know what to do with that. And they get to, many of them get to the conclusion, well, I know what to do with that. We need to get rid of him. That's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. As you walk through difficult times, as you walk through a tough problem, as you get to a place where you don't understand, Jesus is the answer. You need to recognize that God is all-powerful. You need to recognize that Jesus is God. This is a religious nightmare for these folks. And it still plays out today. There's a religious nightmare going on here, okay? And what's going on with the Pharisees and Sadducees, they've read all the books. They know that if you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, you get heaven. They know that if you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, you go hell. They've got that. They got that figured out. What they haven't figured out is that all have sinned. There's no one who gets that right, to go to heaven based on the law. The only way we get to heaven is through Jesus. This morning, as draw your hearts to these characters in this play and in this scenario that Jesus tells in this story, I just truly want you to get an understanding. I know that as we love God, we want to pursue theology. We want to pursue God's Word. We want to do all the right religious things. We want to get everything the way it needs to be. The number one thing that you need to be is right with God. Not necessarily right with understanding everything in here. By the way, I've been doing this for 30 years. There are still things in here I don't understand. I was reading Exodus this week, and there were some things in Exodus. I went, what did that mean? That's okay. It's honestly okay. We don't have to have everything figured out here. We do have to have everything figured out here. We need to set our hearts right with Jesus. Instead of being a religious leader, worry about being right with God. God will take care of the rest. I want you to be those friends. Find the people that are hurting and serve. Whatever it takes, whatever the scenario may be. Maybe you know somebody who's struggling with suicidal tendencies. Maybe you have a friend that you've been looking at Facebook, that's cute. Facebook, or you've been looking at social media, or you've been looking at what's going on in their life, and you've seen them not come out of their house for a week. Maybe it's time to go over and bring something with you, okay? Something different. Change it. Do something there. You know people who are struggling within the context of your own church, and as you go through those things, and I've seen these things on your emails, you're doing the right things. Continue to do those things. Find others that need to see Jesus. Find them a way to see Jesus in ways that you just didn't have thought about before. Be a friend. Be a friend. Do friendly things. It was sort of interesting last night because when nobody was at our table as a church, nobody would come by. We said free stuff. We're giving away free stuff. They'd rather pay $7 for a bottle of water in the stadium than get a free bottle of water with us. Because they were afraid of what we were going to do. Don't worry about that fear. Do the best you can. Continue to pray, open hearts, seek faces, and do that. Now, if you're one of those that are struggling, okay, paralytic man, did he have feet and arms? He had them. They just weren't useful, right? Did he have a voice? Yeah, he still had a voice. Share that voice. Use that voice. Talk. If you've got trouble going on in your life, talk to somebody. Get to the place where you can get out of this trouble. Find somebody who can help you walk away from that trouble. Find somebody who can help you to Jesus and see Jesus for who He is. Our God loves you dearly. And know that sometimes that doesn't always feel like it. But He does. And our God is precious in every way, shape, and form. And this morning, if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, you never made Him Lord and Savior of your life, this is a good time to do this. So I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. I'm going to ask you not to look up. I'm going to ask you to think in your heart, your own personal heart. Have I invited Jesus into my heart, made Him Lord, boss, guide, and Savior, the one who died for me in my life? If you have not and would like to, say this prayer to God. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner. I've done things that have displeased You. I know that the penalty for my sin is separation from You forever. Today, I believe that Jesus is the answer. I believe that Jesus went to the cross, that He took my sin and died for me. I ask Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I invite Him into my heart, and I make Him Lord and Savior of my life and I will follow him from this day forward. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you did that for the first time today, do not leave this room without telling someone. Period. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you invited Jesus, I don't care who you are. If you invited, I was in Catholic Church for 15 years. Okay? I went to everything they had. Wasn't saved. Didn't come to know Christ till I was 21. Don't be embarrassed about it. You find somebody and say, I invited Jesus into my heart, made him Lord and Savior of my life today. Here's why. Because if you leave this building and you get out the door, the devil's going to say, you really didn't do that. You really didn't do that. And don't let the devil get a seed of discouragement in your heart, because it's not a good place to be. Share with somebody that you did that. Share with somebody and make that known. Father, with this reminder, we are blessed to be your children. Lord, may we have the courage, as Jesus had the courage to go to the cross. Lord, may we have the enthusiasm and faith to share your love for us with others. Father, help us to be useful to people. I love you, Lord. I praise you for you are our God. In Jesus' name, amen.